Some of the things I say don't sit too well with people. It's like a woman over to my right. Things a lot of times don't sit too well with her, but that's because she's not too well off with the Lord. Matter of fact, I saw in a vision the last night or the night before, and she didn't have the right attitude and the right spirit. So easy to sit in the seat of the scornful and be so hard in spirit, so strong, you know, in your spirit, with your ideas and your makeup, not be tender and not be submissive. So easy to do that. As a matter of fact, I saw her, and I saw another woman with her that has been the same way. Both of them's on my right, both of them sitting there, and both of them were together. And consequently, they take the same outlook and the same attitude. Nevertheless, Jesus loves you and Jesus wants to help you. But there's one thing about it. You're going to have to do right if you ever make it into the kingdom of God. Somebody was finding fault with me the other day. And I told my wife, I said, it's not true at all. I said, to the contrary, I said, they're the ones at fault. And it's like another woman that's sitting here. Also, to my right, somebody came to me and said they had a vision about her. And though she's been ever so religious and has been altogether an outstanding religious woman, I made the statement that she wasn't right with the Lord, and that what was wrong, that she had a protruding spirit, and that if there ever come a time when that was stopped, that the woman would lose interest in religious things, and that what she really needed to do was submit her spirit to leadership and to godliness so that she could get a real case of old-time salvation. And sure enough, somebody had a vision, and in the vision, they said it was exactly that way, and they came and told me that that's exactly what happened to the lady. As a matter of fact, the thing that happened to her was even far more extreme, to the extent that she completely lost out with God altogether. So folks, remember one thing. The Lord is watching me. He's watching you. He's watching all of us. The Bible said his eyes are throughout the earth, beholding the good and the evil, and to reward every man according to his works. His eyes running to and fro in the earth. And the Bible said he is looking for the upright in heart, that he may show himself strong in their behalf. So then if you want God to show himself strong for you and do something for you, all you've got to do is be upright in heart. You know, it's a wonderful day that we're living in, a wonderful time. On Sunday morning, we try to elaborate a little bit on the scriptures, and at the same time, we try to teach you. You know, the Bible tells us to be easy to teach. God wants to help you. I've a brother in here this morning, a man on my left, that's carrying on a lot of foolishness. And the man is a fine man. He loves the Lord. And he wants to do what's right, and he's helping me. But he's carrying on a lot of foolishness. And the Lord has shown me that he's not pleased with it. And last night I had a vision. And in the vision, he was carrying on his foolishness, as always. And when he did start to carry on the foolishness, I saw him in the vision as the hand of the Lord went out against him. And he went backwards, and he just all but turned a flip and went down. As to how he was at the finishing of it, I don't know. But I do know that God is concerned about the individual and loves the individual, but the things that he's doing and saying is very, very dangerous. And I've noticed it all along, that it's been very dangerous, and it'd be wonderful and be well with him if he would stop that right away. Because I feel like God's got something good for the individual, but he's going to have to stop what he's doing because he's going to be in real trouble. All right. If you've got your Bibles, turn over to the book of Revelation. Also had another vision while seeking the Lord last night. And it was concerning my son, George Jr., or the one we call Rick. I'd like for you to pray for him because he's having problems out in Kingsman, Arizona. And he was due to come in the last few days, and he hasn't shown up. We've been real concerned about him. And last night, I was laying on the bed, and I was asleep. All of a sudden, a horrible, horrible atmosphere arose. So horrifying till I awoke just like that. Found myself there trying to reason with God as to find out what had brought such an atmosphere into the room. And as I talked with God and reasoned with God, I knew something was wrong. Something had happened, but I didn't know what it was. And I never did understand what it was. Finally, I got up to pray. I went back to sleep and then awoke and got up to pray. And I had a vision. And in the vision, it was quite a lengthy vision. I told it to Sister Betty. Quite a number of things was involved, but the essence of the vision was that George Jr. had been shot and killed, and didn't know how or what, but they came to me and said that he had got shot and had been killed, which of course I know that would cause some of the people here to have a real delight. They'd have a real good feeling about that, though they try to camouflage it. But on the other hand, it would cause some of them to really be considerate in that he would be my son, and then in that some of them knows that Rick is still in the developing stages, and they would really hate to see anything happen to him or any other young fellow. But some of them would delight in it because they feel like that Rick hasn't been their idea of what they want anyway, or hasn't done them the way that they feel like that you know, he ought to, not considering the fact of the way that they've done him, which has been terrible. But it is a true fact that he has been way out, as the world said. And if he lost his life, it would be but a very little thing as to what he would deserve. And of course, if you and I lost ours, it would be a very little thing as to what we deserve. But nevertheless, God being merciful, he spared me, and I trust that he'll spare you. I prayed for you, and he has thus far, and I trust that he will spare Rick. And, of course, your children, as I pray for them all the time, trusting that God will spare them. But it was very plain that he'd been shot to death. And I'd like for you that have any concern to pray with me and believe God that he'll be all right. Now, the way I feel, and like I say, I know there'll be a satisfaction if something happens to him. But the way I feel, I pray this way: Lord, if it is your plan for him to be killed or shot to death, I don't want you to change it. I don't want you to change it. Though he's my son, though it would be me, my wife, my children, my daughters, no matter what, I don't want it changed. Though it would be heartaches and though I'll be torn to pieces, I don't want you to change it one iota. For down through the years, it's always been my prayer that I want your will done. I don't want your permissible will in my life for anything at any time. I want your perfect will in my life. And I want that concerning my children. I want that concerning me. And I don't want any changes. I don't want any alterations. But if it is thy will, Jesus said, Father, let this cup pass from me, if it be your will. Nevertheless, your will be done. So I'm trusting God to undertake, and I know for sure that his will be done, because I got up over in the morning and I talked to the Lord till I was satisfied over it, that his will be done about it. I'm trusting everything will work out all right. Regardless to what happens to my children or to me or to you or to the world, the gospel remains the same. The preaching remains the same. And all things remain the same. Remember when we was preaching down in Del Rio, Texas? I mentioned this before, and I remember when pneumonia, whatever it was, I don't know whether it was it Susie? When it struck Susie, she was just a little baby. Struck Susie, and I'd been preaching some pretty strong, straight things. at a place that Brother Gonzalez was familiar with. And as we preached there, the people had been in real rebellion. And when this horrible situation struck my little one, they more or less gloated over it. And they thought God was really undertaking in their behalf. I said to the people, I said, I'll have you to know one thing. My little one is in a dying condition. And that was true. I mean, a dying condition. I said, but though my little one die tonight, tomorrow, whenever, the gospel remains the same. And what I've said to you is identically the same. There is no changes. There's no alterations. There's no apologies. And in a day or two, my little one was in perfect condition and is still with me today. So that's the way I feel here. There's no apologies. There's no changes. There's no alterations. Though you bury me, you bury my wife, you bury my children, whatever, it remains the same as we have said it. That's the way it is. We don't have any apologies to make. We don't have any changes to make. It is just exactly the way that we said it. If you've got your Bibles, let's turn over to chapter 8 and take a look at this. Chapter 8. And when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of half an hour. You know, just stopping for a moment here to comment. Yesterday, something was taking place. Brother Coon had come up down to the little place down here where we were putting the walls in. And God using the foolish and abased things of the world to confound the wise. He walked up and he had three bananas in his hand. He walked over to where I was and he gave me one and he kept one and gave Brother Carnes one. And I think maybe Lynn wound up with some of the banana too. But anyway, Lynn had been working hard all day out there helping us. But I noticed something was taking place. I was standing there talking to Brother Marlowe. And while I was talking to Brother Marlowe, I knew that something was taking place, him being down here in the bus being finished. And we was telling the people not too long ago how that Brother Marlowe had to do with the end of the law and the prophets. Have you remembered that? Have you got time for me to just kind of talk with you for a few minutes? Okay, we was telling how that Brother Marlowe had to do with the end of the law and the prophets. Now somebody would say, first of all, how does Brother Marlowe have to do with the end of the law and the prophets? How many of you remember the light at the baptism where I was standing in the water, Brother Taylor was standing nearby, and all of a sudden the image of me as an individual was gone. There's hardly any trace at all. You remember that? You remember Brother Bucky? Brother Bucky came along and wrote an article. They published it in the Harvester Herald. Brother Bucky wrote this article and put it in under the picture, and it read something like the light, you know, was strange reaction from God. And he went on to comment concerning Brother Branham and gave his views of it. Well, when I saw this little article, it was a long time after Bucky's death before I took notice to it. And I saw this little article, and when I picked it up and I looked at it, I heard something very clearly and very distinctively say, it says, witnessed by the law and the prophets. Well, see, the Bible speaks of Jesus Christ, the translation in Calvary, having been witnessed by the law and the prophets. And I thought, witnessed by the law and the prophets, what is God trying to tell me? And as I read this little article, I looked and I read closely what Bucky had said and how that he had used Brother Branham in the article. And then I noticed that in using this, he had tied something together that was really outstanding in the article. Some of you might have read it. Then the Lord put it all together, and I I saw that Bucky, being a judge, had to do with the law. In speaking of Brother Branham and referring back to the light that was over Brother Branham's head, had to do with the prophets. And there Bucky, referring to Brother Branham and saying that the light that was over Brother Branham's head referred to this light or this event, gave a witness of the prophets to this, and then Bucky, witnessing to it, gave another witness of the law. So witnessed by the law and by the prophets, that light. Well, Brother Marlowe, we were speaking of Brother Marlowe and how that Brother Marlowe had to do with Brother Branham right at this time, and about the time he went on the 40-day fast down here, and that had to do with the pillar of fire and a number of things that we could just go on and on speaking about. Well, Brother Marlowe had to do with the end of the law and the prophets. God let him come here on this campground, and he was connected with Brother Branham. Somebody would say, Brother Pike, you know, you're so radical. Just out of a clear blue sky, you pick up something or somebody and you say, they mean this or they mean that, or they relate to this or that. Strangely enough, I do that very thing, and yet I don't do it. God does it, because I wouldn't know anything concern those people or how to make them relate one thing to another. But God speaks to me and tells me who they are and what they relate to, and eventually you watch and it comes to pass that the thing shows up. You remember when I spoke of the river over in Memphis, and I said it had to do with Egypt? And later they found out, my son-in-law checking it out, later he found out it was named after the river in Egypt. Now, I didn't know that. Number of other things that we spoke of that was way out. Like Brother Marlowe, how does he relate? He does definitely relate to it. And sure enough, he had the little trailer that Brother Mitch Hamby gave us. Brother Mitch Hamby come from Indiana. Brother Mitch Hamby's family belonged to the Brother Branham following for years. So there's one connection. That's not the only connection. Strangely enough, when Brother James Isaac, Brother Grady, and some of the others went over to Indiana, they borrowed, I believe it was a battery from Brother Marlowe's car, or there was a connection somehow or another. James Isaac took it, whatever. And believe it or not, they took that automobile with Bob Wells. We spoke of Bob Wells and what Bob had to do with the end of it, how he related to Brother Branham and the changeover. And we spoke of what would happen to him, and it did happen. And strangely enough, they went over in his car, James Isaac, having to do with Brother Grady, Brother Isaac, the different ones, they went over with Bob. Now, you had given Bob a car, remember? You'd given Bob a car. It had a very definite meaning. They went over to Indiana in the car. While we were there, a lot of things took place. Maybe a number of things that we won't relate or go into. But just sporadically speaking, enumerating a few things that you might connect together with things that we have spoken of in the past, that may make a lot of sense to you. While we were over there, one of the places that we went to was to Brother Wright's place or his farm, Brother Shelby Wright. That was the place where Brother Branham had been when he prayed about the sons of Hetty. And that was where the thing was said concerning the squirrels, so speaking the squirrels into existence. That was referred to as the third pool, the recreation. Sure enough, before you get to his place, it's got a little sign that says the recreation or recreation. When the automobile that Brother Wells was driving pulled up into the driveway at Brother Shelby's home, all of a sudden that battery gave way. It give out. Now, it give out unawares. They didn't know it unawares. They got back in the car ready to leave, thinking that everything was just right, only to find out they were without power. You see, Brother Marlowe, the end of the law and the prophets. Ending where? At the place of the third pull. At the very same time, Shelby comes out with a ring in his hand. And you remember the ring that was given to Sister Betty. The Holy Ghost fell. The wonderful presence of God came down. And as I said, the material that the sister had, the Indiana material, it was sent to Little Bethlehem, and the ladies made it to their conformity in the long dresses. She wore it to the tabernacle. Understand that she wore it to the tabernacle. After that, she passed away. We had prayed for her to be healed. God had healed her, blessed her. She'd been real sick. She got along real good, got up, went to the tabernacle. She got her dress that came from Little Bethlehem. Then she passed away, later passed away. And then the ring was given to Sister Betty. Now in that it was obvious that God was showing something, because when Betty and I went to Indiana later, Sister Branham, you remember, she communicated with Sister Betty just before Sister Branham's death. The death of the woman that had raised Billy Paul, Sister Wright, the promise of Brother Branham to the daughter, the ring being given to Sister Betty, the third pull being made mention of, and even the fact that when we went out to their place with the coach, going back to Reuben the firstborn now, our coach, they're really getting it in good shape. Going back to the coach, this coach, as it started to Brother Shelby's place, started over an iron bridge, an old-fashioned bridge. We had some people in there. We had Ruth, and who all was it? Who? Rebecca, Ruth, and there was a number of them in there. I don't know if it was Naomi or who. But anyway, we had a number of them in there. But when we got to the bridge, one of them, can't remember the name now, one of them that represented the other side of life, contrary to God, when we got to that bridge, she said, I'm not going over that bridge in this bus. I'm not going over it. And she just got almost hysterical, and we had to stop and let her out. She wouldn't ride the bus over. But Ruth stayed in the bus and rode over. It was obvious what God was doing. Up there was where we went to the big cave. The bus also, right at this very moment, still relating to something that's taking place, relating to what took place in Indiana. If you recall, when we went down into Central America, the Lord spoke to me and told me that it would be bad for us. I told Sister Betty, we almost lost our lives. Had it not been for the people that was concerned, that fasted and prayed, we probably would have lost our lives. The brakes gave out on the mountains, and some of the highest mountains in the world. It was there, as we crossed over Mexico at the lower part, coming into Guatemala, going down the side along the coast, the winds are so severe that they've been known to turn over a tractor and a trailer. There, we made it real good going down, but when we started back from Honduras, San Pedro Sula, we spoke of Peter, the Keys, and the high mountain where we went up into this lofty place, having to do with that concerning Moses, as we went up into the mountain, and this cloud come down on the mountain, and there we stayed through the night, and I received the vision where the Lord said that somebody has died and or passed on, and I want you to take their place. Here you remember that I said that God would speak to me before I left here, after I crossed over the boundary line there in Houston. yesterday had to do with that, going back to what we said about yesterday. Just kind of zigzag back and forward here to bring out a thought of what has happened and what is happening. Yesterday had to do with that. Johnny, from out of Houston, Texas, the new black brother that's here with us, he went on the job yesterday. And it was on that particular job yesterday that they painted a black man's house and they painted a Jew's house. And on the door, he had a little thing that the Jews hang on the door. I usually have to get Brother Richard to pronounce that. The mezuzah. The mezuzah. They hang it on the door, and it has to do with the covenant. And it has from the Torah, or that is, it has some of the commandments, all the Ten Commandments in it. It's in a little sealed envelope or whatever. Well, yesterday this Jew had one hanging on the door. Brother Stevie, not knowing what it was, I understand he just took it and throwed it away. And the man, he come and he was really disturbed about it. And Stevie could very easily have become the first Bethlehem martyr, the way the man was talking. But anyway, the man, he was pretty loving and kind about it after he found out all was well. But I understand he was really disturbed. You know, I don't think he would have been so vicious as to do anything radical. But anyway, it was really tying in with something that we saw. There the man finally located it. And when he found it, kind of like the woman that found the coin, you know, when it was lost, that had to do with the marriage, he kissed it. And it was so amazing. In the things that transpired, there was the moonstones, there was the vision, having to do with Houston, there was Johnny. And there was a seal being opened, and they told me that the man's name meant a ray of light. At the same time that the bananas came to us down here at the multipurpose building, we had spoken about that having to do with the ramp from the ark. And I'd referred back to the man that came in with the ark, the bus that was made just like an ark, that came out of nowhere, stayed here a few days and went into who knows where. Never heard of him no more. Never heard of him before. But anyway, he came in, and about that time was having a flood down the building. But here, that ramp, we spoke about the two walls, and one of the walls having to do with the first covenant that got pushed out of place with that jack when they put it under pressure. Thing was broke between a couple of brethren there. That is the agreement and the covenant that we have here among the brethren. And I said, on the next one, it's going to be right. So on the next one, there was over 50 bags of cement went in it, I believe. And like a Pentecostal thing, it was real straight and nice right down to the T. And when it was unveiled, we spoke of taking the crosses out of the middle of it that was braced from side to side. And when it was unveiled, it was just right. And about that time, the bananas came. And Razel, he got him one, and Brother Coon got him one, and I got one. And when he gave it to me, Brother Marlowe was standing there. And Brother Richard, the Jew, was standing there. I took my banana and I looked, and on my banana it had a little old sticker with a crown on it, a beautiful little crown. And right then I knew something was taking place. I took the little crown off, and I was kind of excited, and I commented, and the brother standing up top, he said, "I got one too." And sure enough, he had one, but when he looked, it didn't have a crown on it. So I took the crown and I put it in my pocket. And I heard something said, "I give that banana to Richard the Jew." So I gave it to Richard. And there it was tying in so beautifully, the crown returning to Israel. And the thing so beautiful with Brother Marlowe there that represented Brother Terrell going to that park back there. You know, one of the leading ministries of today. And sure enough, he gave me a Brother Terrell magazine just before he left. Relating back to Brother Branham's ministry, one of the other lead ministers where I said Brother Terrell would preach it over. And there was, there we stood having to do with that light that was witnessed by the law and the prophets. And there it was, see, Brother Marlowe having to do with the prophetical end of it at that moment. Brother Coon having to do with the law at that moment because they turned it into quotes after Brother Branham left and they made a legalistic thing. But there it was, the beauty of it, and there was the breach over with Brother Terrell, and there was the wall finished and nothing to do now but to tie them together with that little pad in the middle. And at the same time sending Brother Carnes into Macon, Brother John going over into Tennessee and having to do with Pope Mississippi. You remember what we said about Pope and the changeover of the crown coming from the priest, the Catholic priest who came here that we baptized in Jesus' name, who joined the Church of God. You know, we said the Church of God would be the one that would stand behind it, and that the assemblies had to do with Brother Branham. And here, seeing the changeover and John leaving Macon, I said now, told Brother Carnes, I said, you contact Brother Lane and tell him that God spoke to me and said that he was fixing to leave Macon. And he told me what to do, and I'm sending you down there. And Brother Carnes was a little reluctant to do it. Not that he doubted my word, but he said, well, I don't know how John's going to react. I said, if God's in a thing, it'll be peaceable. I said, if you believe what I said, then call him. I said, and you tell him that I said God said. I said, because if God said, then it'll stand the test. And if God didn't say, then you need to come back and tell me I'm a liar. So he called him up, and Brother John Lane said, that's exactly right. That's exactly right. So we sent him down to Macon. As a matter of fact, he's down there this morning to have service. Now, John going over to Mississippi, he's running revival at Olive Branch, relating back to Jack Arndt. Going back to the Memphis thing of the river, calling the son out of Egypt, going back to the Dove guitar that we gave to Brother Jack, and the letter he wrote saying that the Dove had found itself a mate or an olive branch. In that day the branch of the Lord shall be beautiful. And believe it or not, when they took the sign off of the coach, Brother York had put it on and Brother Stone, and it had to do with the stone being rolled away, the door made in the side because it's on the side that they put the sign on. Brother York having to do with Brother Branham and having to do with the angel that appeared to us in Florida that we made testimony of. Here, having put that on, they took every bit of that off. When they finished, Brother Don, coming from New York, he and Brother York was together up in New York when we were there concerning the Jew, Marcirilla, and the tent, and the New Hope Baptist Church that we preached at it there. Now, that's when I got so sick, preached at the Baptist Church, and I felt led to go. And I thought, Lord, why in the world did I get so sick? But later I heard something say, lukewarm, I'll spew you out of my mouth. And I really did. But anyway, it all fit together so beautiful. And there it was, the sign was taken off. The Imran was placed back on the side of the coach where the door is. We say the side where the spear went in, the door of the ark, Reuben the firstborn, relating back to Waycross or Calvary. Now, we explain some of these things more in detail at other times and seasons. Bill has it on tape. That way you can put it together if you so desire. But there was the sign taken off completely, nothing left but two doves. Jack said that the dove had found itself a mate. The two doves that Brother York and Brother Stone had put on there are beautifully left on the side. In the middle, where he put this new Imron that's so bright and brilliant, it made it more brighter than the others, which meant a bright spot. And I heard the Lord speak very clearly. And there it was, the baptism and the picture on the thunders where the dove was. Except for one thing. The image had gone, Reuben the firstborn, the birthright, the rapture of the church, the seal. There had been the rainbow put over it, the covenant, the name. Sister Betty referred to as the first lady. The Bible calls the church the elect lady. There it was, the seal, the seven angels, the coming of the Lord, the end of the church ages, the revelation of Jesus Christ, the rapture away, nothing but a bright spot. There it was, and there was the two beautiful doves left, and it was so beautiful, everything so perfectly in order as to show what God had done. And there it was, Brother Bill, having to do with the first part of the covenant, or Brother Branham. There it was. Brother Bill, after that, said, somebody told me, said, I'm resigning, he said. And immediately I had to get somebody else. So the Lord spoke to me, and the one that came forth was Joseph, which had to do with the second part of the covenant, Brother Branham's son. And so I put Joseph on the bus, and he's got this side of the lettering already drawn in, showing the covenant coming in, which is the second part of the covenant, or the third pool, or the new thing, which is the bus made new, and the children going over the Jordan. And it is beautiful. It kind of has an Indian appearance to it. It's kind of colorful. That eagle look to it. And the children have been excited. They've helped on it. Right here at the crossing of the Jordan, which has to do with Brother Carnes going into the Macon area and that thing being over concerning Brother Palmer and those people out there having to do with Brother Clyde, the wreck he had over here at the crossing when Brother Palmer came to get the truck and he wouldn't let him have it. Referring back to the man over here, name being Palmer, that which the Palmer worm has got, I will restore, saith the Lord. Brother Clyde Cobb's having to do with the new harvest. We said the corn on the cob. And as a matter of fact, yesterday it was so perfect that Gerald come all the way over there and had one big bowl and pulled the top off, and he gave me the corn on the cob. There was one big ear of corn, yellow corn all dipped in butter, and I had a good time eating it, and I hope I didn't upset Brother Jim and him. Wasn't but one corn on the cob. But anyway, it was so beautiful, he came across the road with it having to do with the harvest. When they crossed the Jordan, they got their new harvest. Also, with the proposed rainbow-type crossing, or the walkway for the children, getting over death, as we say. The Kim already has it drawn in. It's real nice. Going back to our previous thought here, about the time the bananas came in, right at this very moment here, Brother Coon hands me two ships, about 35 years old. I don't know where he got them. He told me, forgotten, but it's about 35 years old, and it was the original wood. The people that had them, the man, I believe, ever since it was a boy, and had given them to Brother Coon, and he brought them to me. And at the same time, he'd gotten hold of a cap, and on the cap it says the total way of life. Nothing missing. The total way. And he gave me the ships. One was the Cutty Sark with a little blue flag with a stone. The other was the Flying Cloud with American flag on it. Still just as dusty as they could be, where the age, but they were nice, sturdy little ships. There they were, the two covenants. You know, the Cutty Sark. Or that is, you take about a letter off there and got the word ark. And the other was a cloud. I set my bow in the cloud. Take the ark and then set the bow in the cloud. And there it was, that banana bow. Everything was so beautifully in line in what God had done. There was so wonderful in that 1, 2, 3 of what God had done. And right where we were standing was at the same door where we stood with the brother from Michigan and saw the beautiful rainbow that excited us so that day, that had to do with that covenant and had to do with the cave. When we discovered the cave, this brother coming down through the wilderness and the cave. Now, all of these things were taking place yesterday. And going back to Brother George Wright, I spoke of how that Brother Armstrong had found the card that had his name on it. At some place here, he found the card with George Wright on it, and they signed my name to it, or my name was put on it, or something. I don't know how we did that. But anyway, my name wound up being on the card. See, Sister Betty had gotten the ring over in Jeff. The lady that had the dress, the Indiana material that raised Brother Branham and Billy Paul, like the mother of the church, the tabernacle, that material came over here. We took that material and made it conform to Bethlehem's way of life. Brother Branham said the third pull, he looked beyond the veil and saw the ladies in the long dresses. The dress went back, went to the tabernacle, and then the ring came to Sister Betty. Sister Branham went out, and the changeover came. We spoke about the first lady. In that, in the coming over, here over on this side, the George Wright card was discovered on this side that was life assurance, or the insurance of life. Over on this side. So then Betty had Sister Wright's ring, and here I had Brother Wright's card, as we say. Identified with Sister Wright and Brother Wright, it showed the marriage and the change of the tabernacle that had been the mother and dad to the extent they had raised Billy Paul, who now has the tabernacle. And of course, that relates to Brother Branham, in that they had raised Brother Branham too as a kid. If you don't think so, you can look at a picture too we got down there of him back there standing in front of their house, especially where he's got his arms around Sister Mitty before they married, and his hat cocked back on his head like a teenager. Now, so they were reared up right there. I'm not talking. I got the picture down there. Brother Wright gave it to us. He wanted us to have it. No reflection, just telling it like it is. I don't think he meant any harm. But it's really something when you look back, because he was a very strict man. Very strict. But the changeover is there. Very obviously, the changeover of the tabernacle, the man-child coming forth to show the sealing in of those seals concerning Canada, the ramp down here going out into Canaan land, the crown on the banana, the crown returning back to Israel or to the Jew. As the ramp goes down, the animals come out. Noah is out of the ark, the new earth, the new Bethlehem, and not the persecuted and the war era, but peace in all of my holy mountains, saith the Lord, to be able to build the temple of God. That had to do with the Solomon regime, where all nations saw it was beautiful, and referred to it as a lady not too long ago, said, I think of heaven when I think of Bethlehem. So then, also having to do with the sister that came up from Australia, because the revelation also shows the separation of Joseph and his wife at the time that she left, and him going away to California, and the return that had to do with Brother Branham's body, Joseph, and with this vault that we put in at Bethel out here, Jacob going back to Bethel, the stones that was poured there having to do with the crossing, or the well was that was drilled here, and Joseph coming back. Then when he came back,
Even as he was separated from his wife, they were reunited together, coming from Australia. And it is that area of Australia where they're trying to negotiate when it comes to peace. As a matter of fact, Hitler also used it as kind of a place of union or mediation. So then, coming back, it showed the third part of it having to do with Joseph and the son, and also George Jr. in Kingsman, Arizona. It had to do with the bus that come out of Houston, which relates back to the trailer that David Paul had, which goes back to the Jew, goes back to New York, goes back to Morris Cirilla, and the place where we stayed there, tying it all together with the vision of Central America, putting it all together in a unified transition, little change, or step-by-step program, as we would say, or in a sequence. All of it connecting together, then having to do with Brother Scotty coming out of Phoenix City, Arizona, and with the place that Neil Frisbee built there, relating back to Brother Red's daughter and the union there of this marriage and the things that took place at the time that they married. And many other things that we could go on and go on that ties in together, that fits in together, hundreds and thousands of things in detail having to do with different ones and the visits and Brother Kuhn and the vision that Brother JT had of the covenant being here and the Ark of the Covenant and the Tree of Life being out in the front yard. The new earth coming in, the crown, leaving the papacy, returning back to the Jews, the little island JC, the Falkland Islands, and the little islands having to do with JC, Jimmy Carter, or South Georgia, and the other island that has to do with the Ascension. In that area, the British having to do with the lions and the four winds down there at Cape Horn, the windy area. And as I said, the coach going down the coast, as it went down the coast, it was all right, down to San Pedro Sula, then getting the keys, coming back. As we came back along the same trail, the wind opened up, as we say, the resurrection, the coffin, open up the place, the firstborn, that is the little turtle shell on the top, out went the tables. So the first covenant was broken up into the mountains, down to San Pedro Sula, the breaking of the covenant, there it was, out went the tables were broken. From that time on, Betty and I never had any more tables. It went on for a long time, and we never had any more tables. That showed the breaking of the first covenant, the end of that, which had to do with Brother Branham and that move. And then it was just the other day at the crossing of the Jordan, as we term it, that all of a sudden, Brother Dwight, we spoke of being on the other side of the road, the sounding of the trumpet, playing the trumpet, the last trumpet. You remember we had two trumpets here. One of them had to do with the coach and the tables, Brother Dwight. And one of them had to do with Brother Taylor, that goes back to Moses, and the boy that played the trumpet here. You remember? And that boy left, wound up in prison. Isn't that right? In a terrible circumstance, though Brother Taylor had carefully given him a good home and good instruction. But it showed the breaking of the first covenant. As a matter of fact, later Brother Fontaine brought me a trumpet that had to do with Gabriel. It was a beautiful trumpet, and you remember the name and the different things, and at a certain time it was given to Michael Angel. That day, an angel standing for his people. And during this whole episode, Jimmy Carter, the type of the coming of the Lord and the revelation and the things shown on TV about the man that said he'd appear in 2 months being Christ, and he'd settle all the wars and whatever. All these things come together in a conglomeration. All of a sudden, Bethlehem is revived. The brethren are revived. Everything coming back to life after such a long siege of death, and especially the winter. Brother Dwight, he makes the tables. He makes the tables. When he made the tables, he put me a couple of tables that joins together in the front of my bus. I never had that in the front of my bus. It's never carried that. Then he put in the middle another little socket to where I can take the single table out of the back, move the single table to the middle, and use the single table and take out the two tables that lock together. Whereas I can use the two tables that lock together when I have company, I can take those out and use it individually when Betty and I want it. Or I can set up the two tables, have that for company, and setting up the third table in the back and have enough room for a number of people back there at that table. And then he made me a little table that was also torn up. He made me a little table to replace that, that sits in the front. And they are beautiful. But anyway, he made these tables, and Sister Betty, she walks in and she picks up one of them and she said, "My, these are so heavy." And they were just too heavy. I picked them up and I thought, this will never do. Betty's done found fault to start with. Here I thought she was really going to be happy. So Dwight was disappointed and I was disappointed. And because the whole idea was to do it, you know, so that Sister Betty and the children would be happy with it. So Dwight, he wasn't contented until we got a second covenant. If the first was going to be stone, he was going to turn the next one into a cloud. So, them heavy tables, he took them heavy tables out of there. And, you know, Brother Beachy, his dad, goes back to Moses. He just took them heavy tables across the way. And he put them in his bus. And his bus is a heavy-duty bus. It's made for that kind of table. And he took them over there. And remember that bus? I mean, that bus came out of Oklahoma. That bus, Brother Kim Williams, that had to do with the Church of God, Brother Till Lahr and a whole string of things, had to do with Brother Branham, William, we call the name William, had to do with Brother Carnes going down yonder, Brother Carnes going out there, and also Brother John that went out there with him that relates back to the bus that Brother Al well remembers coming out of Del Rio, the yellow bus that had to do with the resurrection. Brother John Carnes and him went down there again. Sure enough, strangely enough, Brother Carnes, John Carnes went out there with him to get that one. So this bus comes out of Oklahoma that also had to do with George Jr., that had to do with the bus that was red and white that Sister Betty and I had. That was the model 46. It related back to Brother Branham. We spoke of it going to Oklahoma and spoke of the man that we got the press from. You know the brother's name. He married an Eskimo woman. They have an orphanage. And they do work around the different parts of the world. We got the printing press from him out of Dallas, Texas. Brother Buchanan. Anyway, we sent Brother Atlee out there. That related back to Brother Atlee, George Jr. Those tables, the bus that Brother Dwight got. And that bus also related back to Kim Williams, who went out there to fix it in that it was previously or formerly belonged to the Lefebvre Trio, whose dad I was assistant pastor to as he pastored a Church of God. Going back to the Church of God, the priest, and the many things, again, tying it all together. Well, anyway, there was the boat, the resurrection, linking it together with Brother Atlee and Chris and Dahl going down to the boat and linking it together with the airplane and Brother David Paul and Bud and the different things that has to do with it. If we go on and on and on, they'll all connect together in such a beautiful, beautiful thing. Here is the press coming out of Dallas. Dallas is where Kennedy was killed. Brother Taylor remembers the thing that happened back there at that time. We spoke of it and the death of my brother. And the change, the ecumenical council, and the change in 66, and the lights going out in New York. We said the Antichrist thing had come in, relating back to California and the things that happened in California that was so numerous that we'd have to write a book just on that. But anyway, here the press, the publication of the gospel, At the same time we get our press, strangely enough, here the voice of healing gets a press like our press. Not a lot of those presses around, but they got one like it. And it related right back to the voice of healing, which relates back to the bus, or rather the fire truck, about the same model of the bus that George Jr. traded for this bus that Brother Dwight's got. The fire truck coming from down where Kim was, he discovered that also. Brother Gilbert Kerr going down there to get it, Brother Paul Ondo out of Pennsylvania, they are the ones that's about to furbish. The sandblasting, the thing having to do with the resurrection and concerning Brother Branham, I spoke of it, and sure enough, when the truck came, the name of the truck is the Seagrave, relating back to the boat and the water, and relating to Brother Branham's ministry in such a way that having to do with the resurrection, we say throwing away the dirt or taking off the old and the sandblasting, they wound up with a Lindsay sandblaster, which was the one that established the voice of healing out in Dallas, Texas, which was Brother Branham's minister. The first tree, which had to do with the tree of knowledge, turned into quotes, and pointed to the last tree, which was the tree coming up in the east, not in the west, that had to do with the woman and the fall of California, but the east comes up to the tree of life that JT saw out here in front of the church. The revelation or the spiritual word and not the natural letter of the quote of the spoken word. Brother Coon showing that by the chains. And so then in the fire truck, it being resurrected and coming forth, it is so beautiful in the allegoric type, and so beautifully it shows the resurrection again. So the bus that George Jr. had, the same color, the fire truck, it was traded for this bus that the brother has, the covenant, the first covenants going into that, the broken covenants, those of the stone going into that bus relating back to Brother Atlee Beachy, and as I say, the boat. Going back to that, and Chris and Dahl that's down there right now that has to do with some things that we related not too long ago, they have on tape concerning revelation, and at this time the mayor giving Atlee his hat or his cap, the nice cap, and giving him the white stone. And at this time having to do with the boat, the cross, and you remember the many things that happened, the place on the side of the boat, the cross breaking off of the top, and the rainbow pier where it's at, and the vision that we had where the Lord had put all things into my hand to where I was in a position to speak everything into existence or out of existence. On the boat coming up from where the priest had thrown the things into the water, remember that great priest that had gathered there to throw that cross into the water? There the diving, you remember, where the boat was at when Brother Atlee and I went down to move it. There, relating back to that, and the cap that Brother Conrad gave, Louisiana, the purchased possession, the redemption of the body, back to the cap that went into the water when David Paul brought it, when he dove into the water and got the cap and brought it back to me, and I gave it to him. And also relating back to the hat that Brother Jerry gave me that went into the water that had to do with the lamb, we said, that went into the water that George Jr., we dove out into the ocean, got it, and I gave it to him. And relating back to the golden hat that Brother Jerry gave me that's up here this morning. Now, also relating to the trip where we caught the sharks coming on the way over, and how we had said that we'd reach land at a certain time, and we did, not seeing land for a number of days in the boat. Coming on over, and that night being up in the rain, that night sitting on the back of the boat, when everybody was hard and fast asleep, and they had what they call the bandits. Remember, I wasn't going to let them put them bandits on the boat. After that thing had took place down there, we pulled out. I wasn't going to let them put them on, and something said to me, put the bandits on the boat, because he was between the two thieves. So I put the bandits on the back of the boat, one on this side, one on this side, and there they were. And as we moved through the water, there going through the water over in the night, raining. It was raining, and the cloud, the mist was so bad. We got hemmed in, and finally, I like to scare the life out of a neighboring boat that we run across, we out there. And you remember what we said about it when we like to run into the boat, and the man thought that it was such a huge thing. And he was in a pretty big boat himself. But anyway, to be out that far, you had to be in a big one. But we had to anchor there during the night while everybody was asleep. You remember, I put on that transparent suit from my head to my feet. I was covered up completely in the transparent suit that had to do with the kinsman slippers that had been bought with it, and also put on the boots that had to do with the kinsman and the resurrection. If you remember how I got up, I went out on the boat, went around, and I sat down, took a little folding chair. I sat down on the back of the boat, and when I sat down on the back of the boat, everything was covered with the cloud, and this is when I saw the cloud open up, and it was like just one place, and like the coming of the Lord. And then was when I went off into a trance, and the Lord spoke to me, and you remember he told me, he made it plain in this vision. You know, we got it on tape. He told me what I was to do in this vision. And when I went down to Central America, it said, take somebody's place. In this vision, it told who and what. And we related it to you. But anyway, there it was. I was sitting in the chair, and then it dawned on me as I come out of the vision. I went off into this vision over the morning while everybody was asleep. And I come out of this vision, and there I was sitting between those two bandits. And it was raining on me. It had been raining all during the time that I was in this vision and seeing this as I looked up into heaven. And there was the two bandits, one on either side, and sure enough, there was the sharks. And I went to get Brother Atlee up, and Brother Atlee, he stirred, and I told him, and I was excited, and I said, Brother Atlee, both of them are just bending double. You know, they've got huge, whatever they are, they've got huge fish on them. Brother Atlee, he raised up, and he said something to me, and he groaned a few times and went back to sleep. And I couldn't get through to him, because usually Atlee is one of the most alert people you ever seen. He's just up and gone. But not that morning. He'd really been working hard all the way, and it had been a real battle. But anyway, I got David Paul up, finally got David Paul awake, and got out there and got Brother Conrad. And there, Brother Conrad went to one bandit, and David Paul went to the other. And there they stood, and there I was in the middle of it, and there they came up with the sharks. So I said all that to say this. We got to land. We saw this beautiful land. And you remember how we rescued the people that had got lost off out there in the ocean. And we told how they had to do with the Lord and the resurrection and Brother Branham and the church. And we won't go into that. We got that on tape. But you remember we told the names and everything, how it related so beautifully to it, even the place, all the things that happened. So finally we came, as we said, and skipping a lot of it, we came on over to where the cross was, the bridge, the drawbridge, and the things that were related. You remember the things that took place, numbers of things. Coming on over to where we are, speaking again of the covenants. Here, Brother Dwight did not rest until he went and made us some more. He brought them back, and he took the sharp corners off of these. They are where you can get in and out better. And with these covenants, as we say, these tables, these are light. Sister Betty can just pick them up and move them around. Because Dwight took, and between two pieces of plywood, or ever I fixed it, he put styrofoam. And they're strong and sturdy and very light. And still you can use them. So as it was with the second wall, so with the tables. Dwight had to make two sets of tables because, as I said, the first set was broken. And it was shown that the first covenant was broken. Nothing wrong with the covenant. It was a beautiful covenant of the law. Brother Branham's message was beautiful. But they did not abide by it even till today. You can go to his following. They are not abiding by it. They are not spiritual. and a very few of them that are really following after Brother Branham. They've turned it into quotes. It's been broken. And instead of doing what Brother Branham so longed for it to do, to bring in what he said was the third pull, instead of that, Brother Branham led them out of Egypt with signs and wonders out of the world and led them into the wilderness in that he was a hunter. Their minds went with him to the hunting, and he was always thinking of him in their hunting and fishing, and that's the way they looked at it. Back to Esau and back to the broken covenant of the twin and back into the wilderness, and there they turned it into a serpent seed. They turned it into intellectual knowledge, and Jesus called them that was intellectual. He said, you are a generation of vipers. You get that from the tree of knowledge. That is the worms, where the worm dieth not. Thy worm Jacob he called the first birth, and which is the serpent. And he said, upon his belly shall he go all of his life. That is, his desire is going to be for food, and he'll eat of the dust of the ground, which is growing his food out of the field and in the briars. By the sweat of his brow shall he make his living. And so then it led him, the first man Adam, to Calvary, to the thorns and to the bruising and to the wrath of God. As God lifted up the brazen serpent, so shall the Son of Man be lifted up. That is, Moses being made God to Aaron. Moses lifted up the brazen serpent, so was Jesus lifted up. There showing the big brazen altar in the evening time, and was smitten, not knowing any sin, yet he was made our sin that we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And being the evening time lamb of the sacrificial offering over the altar of the evening time of life, there the altar where the fire was that never goes out, they could never let that fire go out, which meant God the consuming fire never burns out, for the Bible says the fire is never quenched. The ever blasting burning inferno of his wrath devouring his adversaries ever poured out upon Jesus, tormented in the presence of the angels night and day. There the serpent was smitten, and the head of the serpent having to do with the first man Adam. The woman, the Bible said, and her seed, which was Christ, shall bruise his head. So then the first man Adam, God said, I will bruise his head, and he used his own son, made in the image of the sinful serpent, that is, in the image of man, in the likeness of sin, took him in the image of Adam and put him up there and let the seed of the woman, that is the Christ of the church, in that a woman doesn't have a seed, that the Bible said it shall come to pass that a woman shall compass a man, and to behold a virgin shall be with child, and sure enough, here comes the child, and the child, which is the Antichrist, takes on the image of the first birth, the outer man, and the Antichrist led this outer image to Calvary, and the Antichrist bruised the head of the outer image. For the seed of the woman shall bruise the head of the serpent. So it is, we find that Jesus being delivered to show the serpent, Brother Branham's following having to do with the western part, the woman part, California joining the full gospel businessmen, having to do with the feminine part of it, saying the bride, pointing to the eastern world, saying that the western world is over with his ministry, the closing of the church ages, the revelation of Jesus Christ, the new sunrise of the revelation that we portray on our buses, coming up in the eastern part of the world to show the resurrection of Jesus Christ, which is the crown returning to the Jews, leaving the Catholics, which means America, over, the priest bringing the crown over here, and that is to say the Pope getting rid of the crown. Brother John going to Pope, Mississippi, or having to do with it when the fire fell over there. And Brother Wilson, you know, the harlotry thing, the thing that happened, Brother Wilson closing out the church ages, the seven churches, that had to do with the Assemblies of God that backed Brother Branham and us giving him that belt that you gave us that said the 20th century prophet. When he jerked the mantle off here with all intentions of showing that Elijah had lost the mantle and Elisha had gotten it, it all backfired on him. And it went the opposite way because my David Paul got the mantle. And when he got the mantle, as I said, it went to Brother Jimmy Kirk's brother that showed Brother Branham the hunter.
and or went with him into the wilderness, where David Paul used it while they were hunting, and Brother Jimmy, which showed the church and had to do with the church in the wilderness, which has to do with the fleshly part. So then, with all of this happening, Brother Jim and Bill showing the two sides of it, the new and the old, and David Paul having to do with it there, having to do with my son. Now, relating back to the spiritual and back to the man-child, here we see Brother Branham led him out. Brother Branham was not called to lead him in. He was called to lead him out. The first trumpet sounded together, Israel. The last trumpet sounded to put them into battle or to take them in. And they did not get their new harvest till they crossed over into Canaan, whereas Brother Branham made it very clear. It was very clear. He said, I'm like Joseph to this extent. I'm storing up food. And this food is going to take care of you till you get your new harvest. So when Brother Branham went out, sure enough, Joseph come in. And he has been there with the food, the tiding over the food. And then the winter time set in. And so this has to do with the new harvest coming in now. Because the old food that was there, now comes the new harvest. This land around here, the brethren have given it in. Joseph stayed till he took all of their land and had all of their land and gave it to Pharaoh. Here we've taken all of the land and we've given it to God. Because Pharaoh, he was a good Pharaoh. He had to do with God. He wasn't as the wicked Pharaoh. And Joseph was as the right hand, having to do with Jesus, being in control of everything, the governor of Egypt. And so then they've got their lands. They do what they want to with it. They've got their little ones. God's blessed them, showing that the spiritual food, whereas Brother Terrell breached it over, showing that the spiritual food of the new harvest is here. Somebody can call it the warmed over if they want to. They can call it yesterday's manna if they want to. But Revelation definitely shows it's the third pool, the new thing that come in that has to do with Joseph. It is the new thing that is coming forth. And like Brother J.T. Parnell said, I saw your people and Brother Branham's people come together, which had to do with the redemption of the body and Louisiana Purchase, and which had to do with what he said concerning a new thing. He said this Ark of the Covenant that was in this place, Brother Pye, which was Little Bethlehem, he said, as far as I understand, and he said that thing was a new thing that nobody had seen or known, and it was to be made known. Now, which again, it confirms it, and Brother JT said when he was out on the boat in the vision, and all these balls of fire and pillars of fire was coming together at certain places. He said he heard a voice and said it was the voice of Brother William Branham. And Brother William Branham spoke up, and as these balls of fire come together from the different places here at this boat, said this voice from Brother Branham said, Brother Parnell, this is what Brother Pike was telling you. Now, so then in this, we see these things taking place. And the second covenant, which has to do with the light, the spirit, the fluffy cloud, or that is to say the pillar of fire that led Israel by night. Now the fire, the wrath of God gone because God smote the serpent. And then the cloud that I saw in the vision come down, I saw the fire move out of it as it come down because it was a pillar of cloud by day, which means we are not children of the night as the Jews and as the world, or the Jews that they symbol with the quotes, but we are children of the light, which means the unveiled or the revelation. So then in this, getting their new harvest, going over into Canaan, the leaven begin to mix. So it is here. People begin to come in. The world is beginning to see it. It's becoming attractive. David fought, established something, and then Solomon come in and took the gold and the silver. He built a house, and he gathered gold and silver as though it was dust. Now, Brother Roberts had to do with that in that he set up the place he did. Brother Branham with the first part of David, Brother Roberts with the second part of Solomon. And of course, this has to do with the resurrection of that, which had to do with those things knitted together in the body and the spirit of the coming forth of the saints and the rapture after the church ages. So then I read to you here the opening of the seal. Brother Branham apparently had referred to the opening of the six seals, and when he got to the seventh, he said that was left for the Jews. And so then it had to do with this ministry, because we very clearly brought out what the seventh seal had to do with. Here it's very clear to me what it had to do with. And when Brother Rodney went up there yesterday, that was 22. Going back to the vision, that was the Jew. That was the ray of light, the crown going back. There they went up there and done this job. And when that seal was broken open, it had to do with, as we say, the seventh seal, or that which belongs to the Jew. In this, a thing had happened just prior to that where Brother Ron had backed into a little boy named, I don't know if he said Christy or what? Christopher. See that crossing over the new world, the little ships, that so beautifully ties in. He had backed into this boy on his bike and found out that he didn't hurt the little boy, and it was a miracle. But it happened between the black man and the Jew's home or in that area. That related to that Calvary, that crossing, and this different the different things that was taking place. So that was so beautiful as they did this wonderful thing to help us. And we was over $1,000 overdrawn at the bank. That $1,000, that millennium coming in again on both ways there because they brought in $2,000. And brother, saying this again, Brother Branham never came to take them in. He came to call them out. As I was with Moses, the Lord said to him. And God took Brother Branham, used him to call them out of Egypt with great and mighty signs and wonders. And so they came out and went into a wilderness. And though Brother Branham took them in with a great, wonderful message, yet they turned it into a serpent seed and into lust and got their minds more on human passions than they did the word of God, even to the extent that Brother J.T. Parnell come back and told me about the corruption that had set in Indiana and said it is unbelievable, Brother Pike. I had told Brother J.T. that it would happen. Brother J.T. said it's unbelievable, said people that have been following the Brother Branham message and women and men alike that has got so carried away with their passions until it's downright filthy. That's what the man said. So then it was right at the change that God showed these things. Now, that has nothing to do with Brother Branham's great message for God. That has nothing to do with God's great word and his great spirit. That has nothing to do with the great, wonderful people that love God or the Christian or the true Brother Branham followers in the sense of the great, wonderful spirit of God in their life and them being holy sons and daughters of the Lord. Being in their proper perspective, they showed it. I said Billy Paul had to do in the type with the bonds child, which does not reflect Billy. It is a type going back to Moses, which is a beautiful thing, even for Billy, for Moses was faithful in all of his house. God said, there's not a man in the land like unto my man Moses. And when it comes to Moses, if you remember, Moses will be resurrected again with Elijah, the prophet at the end of the age. He will live again, or he is still alive. And so then, Brother Branham called him out. There was Joseph that had to do with the free woman, the second wife, which has to do with the second part or the third pool or the rapture or Canaan. That is, Jesus is up a little higher, Brother Branham, the voice said. Now, when we see this total life, the total way of life, the women are completely robed. Here, the church, complete in their dress. So we see the beauty of it. We see Brother Branham was called to call them out. They went into the wilderness. He left them in the wilderness, the sundown of the sunset mountain there. He left them in the wilderness. They become hunters and fishermen, and they died out in the wilderness. He said in a few years they'll turn it into a denomination. And they died out in the wilderness. They all split up in splinters. One's got part of his ministry. One's got another part and another part. And they all split up. And they turned it into a serpent seed and pulled away from the truth and away from the prophet, the end of the law and the prophets. And they pulled away from the word of God. And those few that love God, God showed what took place. Now remember, they all died in the wilderness, but Moses. God caught him up. Yet the Bible said he died. To show that he went with his people. To show the dying out of those people. I saw them, Brother Branham's following, in a vision lined up at the grave. Sister Betty and I saw that in reality when we went up there. But the paper that was published recently that had to do with this changeover Billy Paul was there and Brother Collings in the picture of this paper that came at a very precise moment after the sealing in here with Brother Byron and those seals. And those things breaking loose had nothing to do with the four winds down in the war, Argentina, where they were so hostile to us. The paper coming from Jeff, one of the same papers that carried out meetings, as far as I know, coming from Jeff that relates back to the tent. Remember the tent. Remember the cave. Remember Brother Lambert. And let me say this right here. Little Brother Lambert standing out in front of the cave. And little Brother Smith out there like this. Looked like a little Superman standing out there. Out in front of the cave, Brother Tommy Carnes received that picture of the cave. Brother Tommy Carnes shows that part that relates to this. For Tommy was with this. Tommy is still with it. You remember the vision where all my people was with me? And I'm going to close in just a little bit. There's a lot to say, but we're just going to say a few more things. Just to let you know that this ain't some idea I got. In the event that somebody thought I got two or three ideas together, you might put some of these ideas together for a few things that we make mention of this morning. See if you can collect them while we tell them to you. And I don't mean that in any hostile way, but I'm just talking about those that don't give God credit for nothing. I'll let you know that it's God. It's every bit God, because there's thousands of other things, many things we've never even told our wife. Now, God is the mind of Almighty God. And he gave it to me just like he's given it to you. And I had nothing to do with it. Didn't merit or whatever. It's the revelation, not of George Pike, but of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, so then when we look at this, Brother Lamar, who was on the verge of seeing corruption. Now, this not only unveils today in its living, as Paul said, a type and a shadow of Abraham and Sarah, old Jerusalem and new Jerusalem. Not only does it unveil this in the day we're living in of your present life, but it goes back and interprets and unveils all the scripture in the past and their lives and all the rest of it back there from beginning and in the past and also in the future. The Bible said concerning John, I'll show you things that are and things that are to come. Spoke of those things that were in the past. So it comprehends heaven and earth, the present, past, and future. So then here, Brother Lamar comes out of the desert, and Brother Lamar is on the verge of seeing corruption. I talked to some of the brethren, and they can tell you right truthfully that he was. And Brother Coon and him really had it, up one side and down the other. But anyway, there I gave Brother Lamar, who I said represented Brother Branham's followers, he goes back to the woman side of it, back to California, living in the Tucson, Arizona desert. You remember the Tucson, Arizona desert? Old Tucson, new Tucson. And I said, Brother Branham has to do with one thing concerning one of the twins. Brother Allen out on the highway 666 has to do with the other twin. Miracles. You remember miracles, and you remember how Brother Allen had that battle with that man that called himself Satan in the house of Satan. You remember those publications in his magazine. Anyway, the bonds child and the free child. We go into that with little detail on other tapes. So we won't get into that. But anyway, referring back to that, the thing concerning Lamar shows Macon again, Sister Allie Taylor, where Lamar Couch was when we took Jesus' name to him, when he became acquainted with Brother Branham. Going out there, showing the woman and the death where Sister Branham lived and where everything was dry, dead, no growth. That is, Sister Branham lived out there without Brother Branham for a while. We spoke of it coming back to Jeff. There is a desert. There is a barren country. There is a total loss. There's no life. There's no growth. We gave him this picture of the cave, the resurrection, Brother Shelby, the white tent, the little nut that was laid on the table in the room where I sought God. The whole time I was in Jeff, Betty and I had two rooms. There was one, Betty and the children of the other. On this table, the little file that Jonathan got out of the cave. Brother Shelby Wright that gave the ring came and spent the night right there in that room with the little nut laying on the table, with the file laying there. You remember the vision and filing the feathers, the eagle, the cousin, or not the cousin, but relative of Brother Branham, saying that that looked like the tent that Brother Branham spoke of, that white tent, the last visitation that they would get in Jeff, and the man coming out when he found out that they turned our lights on. He said it had never been done before, showing that new light coming in. And the law folded up and laid away, in that they said the law would not let anybody do it, in that even JT didn't get to do it. Said it had not been another tent set in there like that since the tent that William Branham set down by the river. This man said, I was in that meeting when a storm came and rend the tent, the rending of the veil. Now, that had to do with our vision on the rending of the veil. But anyway, here it was, all connected together. The TVs and the things, you remember how it carried the paper. Connecting it back again, I say, with Macon and George Israel being in Macon as the mayor at this time. Brother Jimmy watched the resurrection. You remember the revelation that has to do with that area. Connecting it back with the Carolinas. Brother Horace that came in here as the Black Horse Rider and the season of the bad winter. Remember? Brother Don coming down. Don Porter coming down from Canada. We spoke of it and what it had to do with at this time. But Brother Horace referring at this moment to the Indians that Hope America, when they came in to settle this country, that brought them their harvest after they crossed that great briny deep. And you know the revelation of Christopher Columbus and the things we bring out concerning the Dark Age. But in the area of the town or city of Four Seasons up in North Carolina, you remember what it has to do with Brother Bobby Woodruff, those things that took place, and about the men that they found dead on the mountain out there, the bottomless pit up there, and Bat Cave, and the many things that we brought out that has to do with the revelation, Bill and Brother Taylor up in our office. They got that on tape. Anyway, referring back to this, Brother Branham, back to Jeffersonville, Indiana, back to the tent, back to Lamar, back to Arizona. Here we go back to Arizona. Brother Lamar comes in. I give him a picture of the cave and a picture of the thunders. Going back to this time, Lucifer being cast out, the smiting, the Calvary smiting. Lucifer, that is the serpent message. At this time, the end of the serpent seed message. The end of it, that being cast out. No more. Not the casting out of that which is truth, that which is godly, that Brother Branham intended. But even as Brother Branham had the wreck and the smiting of the head, in that his head was split open, and the things that took place in the rending of the veil to show the crash and to show the death, to show the crucifixion being a type of Jesus and the smiting of the serpent, in that it was the natural part, smiting that which has to do with relating back to the image of the beast, the generation of vipers, back to the serpent seed message, back to the tree of knowledge, because the serpent seed message that they preach comes from the tree of knowledge. Brother Branham goes back and starts with that to get the root of that message. The next thing was to be the trail of the serpent. But in that, Brother Branham didn't preach it, because the serpent seed message caused them people to follow the trail of the serpent, which is the flesh, the generation of vipers, going back to quotes, making it intellectual, doing away with the great spirit of God, taking the quickening out of it, and the worms getting into the bread. The split down yonder where we prayed for the man's ear that was restored, the split between Brother Bethune at this time and between Little Mary and Hollis has to do with that very thing right there. Little Mary relates back to Brother Terrell. I wish we had time to go into all of it, but we don't. Well, you couldn't go into so much of it. Anyway, it'd take all day and all night. We'd still be going. But anyway, this thing has to do with Brother Marin, Little Marin Hollis, Brother Branham being his name, Marin, and Marin when he visited with us in California. And Sister Betty remembers that, and it had to do with him coming out there and a number of things that took place. Well, to say the least, concerning the serpent seed message, and there's a whole lot we could say about it. The serpent seed message, the thunders, planets lining up. At this time, thunders, war in heaven. Because people isn't going to like what Brother Pike's preaching. And they're going to clash with this, and they're going to be war in heaven, but the serpent seed is going to go out. So then,
With this thing, it shows it going out and God redeeming, preserving the good and the true and whatever, and the heresy and that which was wrong, God's going to reject and cast that part out of it. And God's going to bring the truth out of it. And the true William Branham followers, which is you, which are you and I and others that love God and love the Christ in his life. That's the true Paul followers and right on down of the true wonderful things of God. And those that have followed after the natural veil, that tend to corruption, that showed the thing that went to the bonds child, will be left behind. And that which he referred to as Joseph, my son, there shall be double time, double, or whatever it is to be upon you in a prophetical office. Here we see that and see God doing those wonderful things. God, even in this ministry, already has healed cancer a number of times. The angel said that nothing would stand before your prayer, not even cancer. And it has so beautifully been shown in what the Lord is doing. These signs shall follow them that believe. And in my name they shall cast out devils and tread on serpents. So then, we see the beauty of this thing as the new comes in and the old goes out, even to the locking of the doors of the vault, that vault we got out of California that had to do with Brother Branham. We see these wonderful things taking place and many multiplied things or hundreds of things that would be additives or fillers or whatever that we could go on and on and on, brethren, putting it together here as we stand here. Even in this very place that has to do with these seven candlesticks and has to do with this very thing that has nothing to do with Brother Pike as an individual. I'm just a natural man, whereas Daniel said that this wisdom that is given to me is not nothing to me, that I am any different than any other man, but for your sake, he said it was given, and I have nothing to do with it. It is Christ, and not you that speak, but the Heavenly Father that speaketh from within you, and you that have ears to hear can hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. Otherwise, you have eyes to see, you see not. You have ears to hear, you hear not. But we see the wonderful things taking place and God doing these beautiful things to bring the fullness, as we say, the total way of life, as Brother Coon had on his cap. I know that we are you, we are bone of his bone and we're flesh of his flesh. As I said, Brother Lamar got the picture of the cave that was barren, showed no growth because the woman thing went out concerning Sister Allie Taylor. That went out. That was over. The harlotry side was over. That was the end of it. Israel played the harlot, the serpent seed message. So then, Brother Lamar shows it. The thing that happened, I related to the brethren, positively shows it. Remember what I said about the episode in the woman doctor. So then, that showed it. I gave him another picture of the cave. This cave had the foliage around it. And this showed the resurrection. One barren cave, no life, Arizona desert, the death. Because Brother Lamar relates to two sides, this and that. To this first and then that. Because God brought him here to show the change over the breach of it. So he relates to this. Brother Tom Carnes the same way. So then, Brother Tom to the male side, the man, Lamar to the female, or the woman side. California, Lamar, east, Brother Tom. Coming through the wilderness, I had him follow me. Said, this is why I didn't want you to get ahead of me. The great guff, Tom got lost in the wilderness. He finally confessed it. Didn't lose the one the Lord gave me. Now, here we see Lamar coming in to these things. Brother Coon and him having the round that they had. The light of the translated image in the cutaway, witnessed by the law and the prophets. Here Brother Lamar comes. So he saw the barren desert. He had taken cancer. The Lord had healed him of it. Almost saw corruption. But he come forth. Relating back to Brother Branham's followers on the woman's side. Now Brother Tom comes in, having to do with the man's side of it. When he came in, I gave him a picture of the cave. He is risen. The stone rolled away. Brother Tom, he has had human life for little Jonathan that had to do with the lamb and the Jesus side of it. and little Kenny that had to do with the resurrected side of it, which had to do with the Christ side of it. We say Superman, which means that you or I or we who are sons of God are supermen. We're not men, we are gods, which means transcending the outer image of the natural serpent or the beast that will be despised in the morning. We are God's men. Gods that cannot die, relating back to the second covenant and the flying cloud, as we say. Which reminds me, there's a third ship that's about so long that that woman or man said we could have, but we'd have to buy that one. It's relative to the one, too. On back to the Nina Pena Santa Maria, discovering of the New World, America. But anyway, I said that to say this. Tom got the one with the human form there. Brother Lamar did not, for he is risen. And Brother Tom, of course, is coming back, fastening himself hard to this message here. He was down to get tapes again last night. And he says that he is greatly being persecuted. Because Tom and Brother Grady has to do with Benjamin coming in, the double potion, in that they went with Brother Branham. And they were toward that message. And then they were toward this message relating to both. See, getting both in the sense of relating to both, having to do with the double potion. Whereas when Benjamin came, he got a double potion. Now I know, you know, when you think about the prodigal coming, the son, he gets all upset because he stayed home. He said, aha, aha, he got the double potion. But the one that stayed at home had everything. And Joseph gave Benjamin a double potion, but only a double potion out of everything that he had in Egypt. He had everything. He owned everything, lock, stock, and barrel. So a lot of times we don't evaluate properly. Might add this. It's like a brother was telling me this morning, some people trying to justify double marriage, saying that God forgives it and it's over, which I believe had to do with this transitional change, and had to do with Brother Branham and preaching marriage and divorce. I brought it out spiritually as to what it had to do with. In the double marriage, they say, you know, God forgives us. But like I said this morning, they relate that back to David. They go back to David of old, and this is the restoration of the house of David. Returning in the last day, saying, God, saith God, I'll build up the fallen down house of David, that is the lifeless stones, into the cornerstone, which is Jesus Christ, the revelation. Agreeing with the prophets, witnessed by the law and the prophets. But they relate it back to David, and they said, well, God forgave David. He committed his horrible crime. He done his evil, and God forgave him. He was a man after God's own heart. And so then God forgave him and let him continue to live with the woman. So they continue to live with the woman. They say, God, forgive me. But brothers and sisters, there's one thing you forget and overlook. David committed murder, and David killed the woman's husband. He continued to live with the woman because the woman had no husband. He paid severely. He continued to live with the woman. But the woman had no husband. For the Bible said the woman is bound to the law of a husband so long as he liveth. The man was dead. She was free from the law of her husband. That's why he continued. God forgave him after his punishment. But you that think you're going to do it another way, you can be sure that God meant every word he said. And if any man put away his wife for any other reason, saving, which means except for the cause of fornication, committeth adultery. And whosoever marrieth her that is put away committeth adultery, for the woman is bound to the laws of her husband so long as she liveth. And if she be married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress, which means a continuation of evil. She's in a continuation of evil. She cannot get forgiveness for adultery because she is an adulteress, which means she's in a continual practice of evil. Jesus loves us. I believe what Brother Branham preached, every bit that he preached and everything everybody else preached, I believe it as long as it fits the total way of life and fits the word of life. But if Brother Pike preaches it, if Brother Branham preaches it, Brother Roberts preaches it, or any other preacher preaches it, if it don't fit the word of God, then let Brother Pike and Brother Branham and Brother Roberts and every man be a liar and God's word be true. And brother, the Bible said, he that God sendeth will speak God's word. So then if it comes from any of us that's not in the Bible. It is an arrow of the head and not of the heart. And it's for sure that they're preaching you the word. And if it gives, that is the trumpet, if it gives an uncertain sound and it don't sound right to you, it's because God doesn't want you to prepare yourself to the battle. He's wanting you to be overcome in the battle, and he's not going to bless you and let you understand. You're going to say, I don't understand. I don't believe it. But you're going to be sure the man of God knows what he's doing. He's used of God, and as the Bible said concerning Moses, so it was with Brother Branham. It went ill with him for the sake of the people to bring to pass the wonderful thing that God was doing in this wonderful hour concerning Brother Branham, his place in Revelation. Yours, mine's, and everybody else's. I want you to stand with me. I appreciate your kind attention. So much to be said. The Queen of Sheba said the half has never yet been told. Rising in the judgment to condemn this generation, in that she came from a long ways to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and a greater than Solomon is here. Brother Baldwin said one time, the Lord sent me all the way from another state to come and say that Solomon's wisdom would be given here. Whatever, he put a few of his own thoughts in it. He said, the Lord said, and ye shall have the wisdom of Solomon. He said, God said, come and give this word of prophecy. Invented his own words. It was very obvious. It was a natural mind. It wasn't God. He said, but now, remember, it won't exceed the wisdom of Solomon. That was his own words. His own words. For Solomon did not have the Holy Ghost. And the Bible said, a greater than Solomon is here, which is the Holy Ghost. And the Bible said, it shall not be you that speaketh, but your heavenly Father that speaketh from within you. And the wisdom of the sons of God, which are God's, far exceeds Solomon. The Lord only gave him a word of prophecy to come as a confirmation, because he had been speaking against this and he had been contrary and he was thinking in terms of the natural. But brother and sister, remember, the wisdom of Solomon is not to be compared with the great, wonderful understanding of the mind of Jesus Christ. Whose mind do you have so that you won't resent me as you started to do? You sure started resentment, especially from this area right here. I felt a resentment come springing up from this area as it usually does, sweeping over to this area about halfway along this area. And then I said it and I got it stopped. So I'm saying, your mind, the mind of Jesus Christ that is to you. Forget about Brother Pye. I wasn't claiming anything for myself. I'm just satisfied to be a child of God. And let's just thank God because he loves me. And let's pray that he keep loving me. And you can be the all-important one and the all-preeminent one. And you can be the one to be praised. And like the brother said the other night, he said it didn't bother him for you to praise him. And he said he didn't get up here to magnify Brother Pike. So then it won't bother me at all if y'all just take all the glory. Let me be a child of God. That's all I am. I can assure you that I'm less than nothing. And none of this has come from any merit of mine. It's just been the love of God. So if you want to get up here in the pulpit and cut me down and whack me up, as the preachers have done from time to time, and belittle me and smear me and talk about me and say what you want to, that's fine. The more you crush me, if there's any aroma there of Christ, the sweeter it will be when it comes forth. And the less I'm crushed, then the less the fragrance will be, if there's any fragrance in me. And the Lord knows whether or not there is. But there's one thing about it. Jesus was so filled with the fragrance of God that God could not rest until he was crushed entirely, that all of the sweetness of it might come out, that Brother Pike might enjoy it, and that you might enjoy it. And I thank God for what little of the life of Christ could be shown in me. Paul said, I feel, he said, I would that you abound. Said, you are abounding. I would that you abound. He said, I'm glad. Have houses, lands, everything good, have it. He said, I'd like to abound with you. That's good. He said, God wants it that way, prosper, be in health, all them things. That's far. He said, but I feel that God has set forth first the apostles upon them as the offscouring of the earth upon them unto death, for to be delivered unto death and sorrow and misery. all the time, to be killed all the day long, and to be scorned and to be talked about, all these other things. So folks, every time you start rising up to resent me, you don't have to do that. Just save it, because you can have all of it, every bit of it, and just count Brother Pike your footstool and your servant. That way you won't have to find fault with me. You can have every bit of it. And I'm just glad I'm a child of God and on my way to heaven. Glad for our visitors, our black brother that come in here. Glad for him. And glad for him to come and get acquainted with a nothing, so I can meet him that surely must be a somebody. And all you other people that are such wonderful somebodies, you can get acquainted with a nobody, because that's what I am, less than nothing. And I'm just here to tell you about the love of Jesus. That's all. So if you want to talk about something, if you want to talk about Brother Pike, I'd appreciate it if you talk about me to the Lord like the song wrote. But if you want to talk about something, then the next time that you talk, find something worthwhile. Don't talk about Brother Pike. He's not worthwhile. See, he is so little and so small and so much of a nothing that he's not worth your conversation. So don't waste your time on talking about him. See, and mess up your day and your mind and your life and your soul. Talk about somebody and something that's worthwhile, and God will bless you, and you'll have a good time in the Lord, and we'll all get along good together. Okay, let's sing a little chorus together, can we? It's sad to say that so many preachers ruin their sermons as they come to my pulpit by starting off to let everybody know how they feel about Brother Pike. And they interfere with the mind of God, and they lose the anointing when they could have brought forth a great message. By thinking on a nobody, but somebody couldn't come and communicate with them, which is Christ. See, I feel some of you still thinking on that nobody. You just can't get him out of your mind. You got your eyes about his modest way of doing, and though I be a dog under your feet, yet you've got it all figured out. He's just being modest and putting himself down so that he'll be magnified. But see, it's just your ignorance, that's all. Let's just term it as it is. I told you what I am. I'm less than nothing. I'm not here to argue with you. If you be ignorant, Paul said, let him that is ignorant be ignorant. But God said, I would not have you ignorant. That might help a black man that thinks he's so brilliant, that's in such a horrible condition till he's almost a stink in the nostrils of God. Now, and some of the whites too. Now, we're here to love the Lord, to worship God, and to do something. So let's just worship the Lord for just a few minutes and love Jesus. If you see something bad happen to me and you want to gloat, well, you do it. And you just rejoice to no end over it and have yourself a good time. And you say, I knowed it was going to happen. Praise, 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 whatever you're praising. And have yourself a big time and rejoice because you got even, or it happened in your behalf. If it doesn't happen, then wish it would happen and keep wishing and hoping until someday it'll be convenient for you and maybe something will happen that'll stimulate you or make you feel better. And you that love God, that believes there's Christ in my heart, that's trying to lead you and have been trying to lead you down through the years, that love me as a brother, that don't want to cut me down out there or up here, just get in my pulpit and talk about Jesus and don't worry about me. If you don't like me and don't want to talk about me, don't talk to me, don't come around me, don't mess with me, don't talk to nobody about me, just keep me out of your mind. Don't come up to the sacred desk and try to tell everybody how you feel about me, because they're not interested, I'm not interested, and you shouldn't be interested. See, and you just say what you want to say. So, whatever, if you want to say some good things, Brother Branham said one time, said, I like for you to say them good things about me. So if you want to say some good things, say them about Brother Branham. He likes that, or he did when he was living. He liked it. He was a good, honest man. Say, well, don't you like it, Brother Pike? You say he was honest. Every man likes it. I had rather have it this way. The Bible said they glorified God within me. In my flesh there's no good thing so far as the first birth. Now, I'd rather all the praise and the honor and the glory go to God. If you say anything good, if it's truth, to praise me and a good thing, it belongs to Jesus anyway. For Paul said, it's not I that live, but Christ that liveth within me. The life I now live, I live by the Son of God. Therefore, we're supposed to be dead and it's Christ living. So if there's any glory, any good thing, it's him anyway. It's certainly not me. Therefore, there's not anything you could do for me in that way. If you give me a gift, if you bring something, if you come to hear, then you've come to hear him. You come to give him, give to him. You come to praise him. What you do it. The Bible said, do all things as unto the Lord. So you come to do it for him, whether it's to paint, whether it's to pray, whether it's to fast, whether it's to worship, whether it's to build a building, whatever, it's all yours, it's all God. Brother Pike's just a helper of your faith. That's all. Okay, let's sing this chorus together. You know, they've tried to find fault with me across the world, in the islands, in Europe, everywhere around the world. They haven't stopped. In Canada, Mexico, all around the world. But that's okay. I still love them. I don't have no animosity whatsoever in my heart. I don't feel bad at them. Let them say what they will, do what they will. When they get through, I love them. That's the way I feel. Somebody said, what have you got against me? I don't have nothing against anybody. Somebody said, but I know. No, you don't know. That's a lying spirit. You don't know. If you just listen to the right voice, you'd know better. I don't have anything against anybody. Not one tiny iota of a reflect or one flicker of the intent of a thought. No bigger than a hairline or the point of the finest pen it was ever honed. Not that much do I have against anybody for anything anywhere in the entire universe. Not at all. Okay, let's sing this song. Come in to my heart. Come in to my heart. Oh, come in to my heart, Lord Jesus. Come in today. Come in to stay. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Come in to my heart. Come in to my heart. Come in to my heart, Lord Jesus. Come in today. Come in to stay. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. You know, something here, the sounding of the thunders and everything happening like it is, and over in heaven, the planets lining up. Going down through Brother Branham's ministry and all the way down to the wonderful things that's taking place down through the years. Coming over here at the end time, and all of a sudden, no Brother Branham, no Brother Roberts, no Brother Pike, no Brother anybody. And what does it wind up? Jesus. Jesus, everything Jesus. He was the beginning and he is the end. Wonderful Jesus. And all he did was change his mask, as Brother Branham said, down through the years of the transitional change, up here in you and me and them and all the others. The prophets, and right on down to this time, and all the time it was Jesus. Wonderful Jesus. Let's sing that little chorus, can we? Him having the preeminence in all things. Him getting all the glory. The flesh perishes, John said, concerning humanity and all preachers and prophets. All that are of today said we must decrease, but he must increase. For of his kingdom there shall be no end. Of his glory and his majesty, he shall rule the nations with a rod of iron. The only way that we can get in on that is that we are part of his bone and flesh and one with him as the great, wonderful Jesus, the Christ, as he changes our contemptible, repulsive bodies into the likeness of his glorious image. that we might not perish but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For to as many as believe gave he them, to them the power to become the sons of God, even to as many as was willing to be baptized in his name, or that is the Bible said, believe on his name. If you believe on his name, then the Bible said, repent of your sins, be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, calling on the name of Jesus, for it shall come to pass, whosoever calleth on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Calling on the name of Jesus. Paul, repent of your sins, be baptized in the name of the Lord, calling on the name of the Lord, and wash away your sins. For it's not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, of your good works and doings that you think you've performed. But it's the answer of a good conscience toward God through Jesus Christ our Lord, by faith in his lovely name, being buried with him in baptism, having put on the Lord Jesus Christ, resurrected from the dead, having been numbered with him in his suffering at Calvary, buried with him in baptism to the conformity of his death, being resurrected in the likeness and newness of life, and that wonderful new man, having put on the new man, old things having passed away, and behold, all things have become new. A new day is here. You are a new creature. How wonderful to believe on his name. And as many as gladly heard and accepted what Peter said were added unto the church. I thought about the 3,000 that goes to Brother Branham's place, the tomb, every year. 3,000. And there came a Pentecost, and the first church was born. And here we see that same church at the end time. What kind of church? Them that are called by his name. If they'll call on my name, I'll hear from heaven, and I'll restore and bless their land. Can we sing this little chorus together? What do you think about Jesus? Somebody said, I think he's wonderful. The Prince of Peace, mighty God, everlasting Father. Let's sing this chorus. Wonderful, wonderful Jesus is to me. He's a counselor and a prince of peace. Mighty God is he. He's saving me and he's keeping me from all sin and shame. Wonderful is my Redeemer, glory to his name. Oh, wonderful, wonderful, my Jesus is to me. He's a counselor and a prince of peace. Mighty God is he. He's saving me and keeping me from all sin and shame. Wonderful is my Redeemer. Glory to his name. Wonderful, wonderful, my Jesus is to me. He's a counselor, prince of peace. Mighty God is he. He's saving me and he's keeping me from all sin and shame. Wonderful is my Redeemer, glory to his name. Said he's wonderful, wonderful, my Jesus is to me.